Welcome to the Snarling Men, the unofficial Silly Football Club podcast. I'm your host, the Cormac Snob, and this week I'm joined by Bruce Hillboy and Lena Stromo to look at our recent defeat to Aberdeen, which of course saw a proud unbeaten record, clean sheet record score. You just have to hope it's right now. Speech at the end of the show. Hail, hail. Right, so back in the pod phone this week, and I'm joined by the returning Bruce Hillboy. Hi, Bruce.
Hello.
So, do you need a minute to compose yourself after both our wonderful records came to an end last night?
I've had a lot of rough time, like, I've had just 24 hours to get over it, so I'm over it. I don't know about the ego or that, but I'm certainly past it.
Right, so before we talk about last night, you, of course, weren't here for the podcast when we beat off Aberdeen the last time in the cup game.
Yep.
But we did read out an emotional statement. We don't really need to talk about that Aberdeen cup game again. It was too traumatic.
Yeah, it was too much.
Too much, right. So after that, and a couple of league games since, we beat St Johnstone 3-0 at Parkhead. A game that was on TV for some strange reason. Anthony Stokes scoring a hat-trick. He has played slightly better, but we'll go into him later. Then, on Saturday there, we played Hearts at Tynecastle, our last visit to Tynecastle for years, probably. Beat them 2-0. Lee Thumheed Griffiths with the first goal, and Pookie set up the amazing Amido Baldy to get the second goal. And Fraser Forster broke the minutes record for clean sheets, without conceding a goal, in fact, in Premier League games. So, what were your thoughts on their games recently against St Johnstone and the one against Hearts?
I thought the St Johnstone game, you know, started really well, got an early goal, you know, scored early goal. I think it was just typical Celtic, they were just going to play it away and nothing, but the second half actually picked up a wee bit, and you know, we got a couple of more goals, we could have a decent there, but the Hearts game on Saturday was quite drab and dull. Griffiths lit up his goal, and then, you know, obviously, I got me broken on set the Pookie goal up, but, you know, I was worried for a couple of minutes. I thought Hearts were going to sneak an equaliser at the end, but, you know, the hell to him scored, but, you know, it was good to go and win at Hearts, you know, probably the last time we'll be there for at least a 2-3 year anyway, I'd imagine.
I know, that's a bomb, really. Obviously, we're no great fans of Hearts, but there, I suppose, are... Well, we haven't got any rivals to play. Oh, no, we've got Aberdeen, of course. They're our new rivals, aren't they?
Aye, bigoted fans.
Exactly, aye. So, that was a good goal by Lee Griffiths. A good ball by Stokes. And Griffiths turned his man well and finished well. But it was a bit alarming that we're playing this very poor Hearts team, who are relegated. And we were scraping about clearing the ball off the line in the last minute.
That was quite a sissy. I thought they started quite quickly, Celtic. And I thought, God, it might not be seven, but we might actually get a few more goals here. But I definitely didn't get a goal early on. The focus seemed to be, right, let's just get past this clean sheet record and then we can play again. And Hearts, you know, what else can we put for it? And, you know, it took a wee bit of magic for Griffiths to get us in front, but we never looked like Ireland yet until, you know, we did get the goal, but I think that one, my first, I came in and missed it, and it bounced just, maybe just past that Danny Wilson, you know, so I know, you know, we'd have lost that game.
Quick word, I suppose, on Fraser Forster, even though it's not been the best Celtic season, which is an understatement, that is a great achievement for Forster and his defenders. When you look at how poor our defence has been recently, in the last couple of seasons, and how many bad goals we've had, really a great achievement for Forster, and it's a pity really that he's leaving the summer, you'd think, but at least we'll get big money for him.
It's a good achievement to have, you know, because it certainly wouldn't have happened last year, you know, with the way the team are playing, so obviously I think, you know, that it's an achievement for Forster and the defender, and Forster does come across as a big nice guy, so, you know, good luck to him. And if he does go in the summer, which, you know, points probably will, then I will get a good fee, but just on that, the record, you know, I'd never felt so secure in a Celtic kind of back line before, up until last night. I had a feeling Aberdeen were going to score last night.
Unlike Stannis, who might be on this week, I'm not sure. He thought we would win last night, but Aberdeen are a bogey team now. But so let's talk about last night's game. Did you see the game?
I watched it on the
transmission,
not on the
score. You did do that, yes. Well, as you know, I've sort of took a vow not to watch a Celtic game again until it's an important game. But I did manage to see the highlights and some other bits and pieces. So we did start off the better team. Brown had a shot. I think it was saved. It ended up going to Stokes and ended up cleared off the line. I think Beaton, was it, or Mulgrew? Mulgrew, I think, had a shot early on as well that the goalie saved. And then, I think, was it the 12th minute, the moment that changed the game?
Oh, yeah.
A slack back pass by Effie Ambrose, which he has cut down on this season, but last night he was back to bomb scale. Slack back pass by Ambrose, put Peter Pollitt through. Van Dijk tackled him, last man, and despite what our wonderful manager says, that was a red card.
Oh no, it was definitely a red card, and I would lay the blame a wee bit at Van Dijk as well, because he went in with his right foot, he went in with his totally, just made a totally rash challenge, and maybe had to measure, but you know, he's right in with the wrong foot. If he'd have went means less, you know, he'd have bought himself maybe an extra split sec, where he could have won the ball, but it was just a calamity, it was just a, you know, comedy errors, really, you know. All I did up was a bad pass by Ambrose, and Van Dijk was too far apart for Ambrose to start with, and, you know, Ambrose was just a stupid pass, and made the drop back midfield, you know, and next minute Aberdeen a through and goal. So it was a straight red card. If it was up the other end, Lennon, you know what I mean, Lennon was needing to let the ref get his red card out before he was moaning up, so...
Well, we'll go on to Neil Lennon's comments after the game later on, because I wasn't really impressed. But after that, Aberdeen were in control without really doing much, it has to be said. But then, just before half time, they did take the lead, and I have to say, it was some shot by Johnny Hayes for about 30 yards, right under the top corner. Forster couldn't do anything about it.
It was a beauty, but I mean, that's probably, I mean, the way you would want a record like that to go, you know what I mean? Better going for something that, you know, you need to put your hand up and say it was a great strike, rather than a stupid deflection or a, you know, an own goal or something like that, but, or a fumble, but it was some hit, you know, and he was always going to hit it as well, Hayes as well, was, you know, there were never any doubt, and it didn't really close him down, but, you know, he's going to run where he pushed it, you know, forced up any chance. But second goal was back to Mowbray stuff, really.
I was just going to say, was a cross in, nobody had matched Adam Rooney's run, and he headed it into the net. It was really, really desperate defending.
He could have rolled a joint and sparked up, still made it in, made David near him. They just ghosted in, and you need to wonder, you know, either than the 10 men, but Aberdeen were still only playing one up front, and, you know, they just made four players in there to get one, and they couldn't deal with it, and, you know, that was an uphill, you know, the mountain, uphill battle to stay in the game for them.
It was a bit strange how Lennon never really changed the tactics that much. We know that he's not really fond of that, but well, at half time he did take off Chris Commons. We'll talk about Chris Commons later, and they brought on James Forrest. Even more oddly, with 15 minutes to go, he took off Griffiths, who had a quiet game really, and brought on Samaras, which bemuses me, but he does play in the big games. And if we came back and got a draw last night, that would have been a big game for Lennon especially.
When Van Dijk got sent off, the first thing he should have done was bring on, he could have brought Forrest or Fisher on, and, you know, moved Matthews up the park.
Mm-hmm. And Matthews... Hold on a second, Bruce. Sorry, right, you were breaking up there, but sorry, continue.
I was just saying they should have took one of the front three players off, because I would have brought Fisher on and put him at right back and put Matthews at right, you know, right wing, and maybe if you just say we'd have took Stokes off or Collins, you could have put Griffiths in the left, or you could have put Collins in the left or whatever. And I think they just, they left it, it was kind of 4-2-3 or 4-2-1-2 really. And you know, like Aberdeen just over the hands in the midfield, and it was really strange because of, you know, I don't know why he never made a change, because he just left us totally exposed. It was Brown and Beaton against the whole Aberdeen team.
The bosses in midfield in the cup game as well, tell you the truth.
Aye, well, we should have learned his lesson when he tried to go 2v2, you know, Nick and Engine Room.
But he never. I don't want to turn into a bash Lennon session, but he never learns his lesson, and that's why people are still getting pissed off, because he never learns from his mistakes. Right, we'll talk about him again later. Second half, we really should have had a penalty when Mark Reynolds handballed across, but we did get a goal back after about an hour. Pass for Brown, and actually a good finish for Forrest, but we never really looked like getting the equaliser. Aberdeen were sort of just digging in, sitting back, and the end result was we lost our precious unbeaten lead record, precious clean sheets record, and two games this month, Derek McInnes is outthought to Neil Lennon, and Aberdeen, apparently, according to some people, are going to be this new force that's good for Scottish football. Aberdeen get beat 3-1 at Partick Thistle on Saturday. And Thistle hadn't won a game at home all season. So that says it all about how good Aberdeen are. They might win two cups, but that's because... of course, Dumbarton, before they set up with them dream Dumbarton Rangers final. But Aberdeen might win two cups, but really Celtic should be winning eight cups, but don't want to go over old ground. Right, so let's talk about player performances. Start with positive, near Beaton. For some reason, he never played in the Scottish Cup game, which contributed badly to defeat. He's played every game since, and he's been excellent in every game, and he really should get a crack at the whip now. He looks already, I think, better, more accomplished player than Ledley. We're not missing Ledley at all now that he's in the team.
No, I would say that. I thought Beaton was the only player that got past Max last night. I thought he was brilliant. Even when, you know, I think we were down to 10 men, I think it was 0-0, and he was trying, you know, he was driving forward. You know, it wasn't just, you know, concentrating on not getting caught out. He was trying to inspire the team forward. And there were many times when he picked the ball up in 20 yards and, you know, played a good pass out wide here or there, and I think he's going to be a good player for us, you know, the now, but especially in the future, you know, next year. He could be that big player in the middle of the park that we need, you know, in Europe, but maybe not at the height of Wanyama, but you know, he's going to be that kind of player, but we might not use him.
Yeah, it's hard really to judge him in Europe, because he came on for one game and got sent off after about 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's a minute later.
Nice.
Aye, well, you know, it was a kind of tough baptism for the boy, but you know, all you can do is hope that he continues to rise playing to the end of the season, because you know, it's the motivation now. You know, they've conceded a goal, they've lost a game, you know.
But we'll talk
about what happens when they clinch the league. Is it just going to...
Well, it'll be a wet fart. But we'll talk about that more at the end of this section, the end of the pod. On to players that are sort of falling off the cliff. Start off with Chris Commons. He did drag the team throughout most of the season. Scored a power of goals, over 20. But you can tell he's knackered, and he's not the fittest player. And he really should get a rest now. I mean, as you said, there's nothing really to play for. Hopefully, Lennon will blood the youngsters. That probably won't happen, but Chris Commons is a player that needs a rest, and we'll probably see him again when ends up winning the Player of the Year awards.
Well, I've not really said it, but watching the game last night, I thought he did, and I thought against St Johnston he was quite good as well. But it was like a game against Hearts, he done a lovely wee bit of skill and then had a shot with the bar, he was right there. And everybody was going on Twitter saying, oh, what a great season this boy's having. And then last night, he was the man that seemed to get a blame for the defeat. But, you know, obviously, you know, he swings and roundabouts, but I thought Commons for the last 3 or 4 weeks, probably even longer since he's goal against St Mirren, he's actually looked quite off the pace. So Aberdeen in the cup, it was terrible.
He was.
I don't know if it's because Lennon's went back to two up front. I don't know if that maybe stifles him, but you know, he does look 2 or 3 years off the pace, as does Matthews at the back.
That's what I was going to say next. Adam Matthews. Now, Darnell Fisher was playing well. Maybe dropped off a wee bit, but he's only a young guy. Then Matthews thrown in the only important game left of the season, Aberdeen in the Cup, with inevitable circumstances, a poor game. He's back in the team again, and he really was very poor last night. He's obviously no fit, and he should get dropped, really, and maybe gave a rest. You know how the players love getting rests. They might get a holiday again this season. So,
I might go to Dubai again.
I may as well, nothing to play for. So, I really think that Matthews is another one that needs a rest.
That was my whole gripe about the cup defeat was the fact that the defence, maybe Fisher had, you know, maybe slacked a wee bit towards the end of that Sittling game, but at the same time, you know, as a unit, the defence was playing well, and even a wee slight change can cause it, you know, because that was the first time we conceded that goal in so long. You know, with the cup game, never mind the league record, that was so long, and I just thought, you know, that's, you know, the way that they're playing, I thought, you know, why would they change just one wee thing? I know Matthews is a good player, I like Matthews, I think he's a great player, but, you know, like, he's no fit, and sometimes you say, I'll bring him in and play him, he needs to get match fitness, but sometimes players hit a brick wall, and it looks as if that's what Matthews has done. You know, many times, Johnny Hayes isn't the quickest guy, and he seemed to power past him every time last night, but, you know, it's not what I don't think it's Matthews' fault, I think he's just, don't know if Lennon's trying to get him match fit, but it looks as if he's just saying he's trying to play and he needs a rest because he's come on, he's just had a bright wall, he's saying to himself, you know, I need a rest because I'm so far off the pace here, it's unreal, and it's making him look like a bad player even against Hearts. He looked so bad as well against, I can't remember what he was playing at left back, but he just looked so far off the pace, he looked knackered after about half an hour, and you're like, Lennon's got to be watching that, but of course, you know, he's watching someone else.
Very subtle. Well, I have to say, minor gripe, no about Celtic this time. The fact that we've not got a reserve league anymore, which is just stupid, is the problem with things like Matthews. If like we still had a reserve league, Matthews could get thrown in there and get a couple of games to get his fitness back up. But now, because the wonderful powers that be in Scotland done away with the reserve league, they're just getting thrown in. Like, you can't really tell if he's fit or not in the training ground. So, that was me and my soapbox there.
Under 20 league or something, but you know where
I
could play, is it 2 players over there?
Aye, man, Lenny wouldn't think of playing him in that, I doubt.
Fred Johnson's one of them, so.
Aye, that's right, so he is.
So, you know, there must be somebody else, but, like, as you say, you know, without the reserve league, which is stupid, but, you know, people were saying it was costing teams too much money, but I think it was just the fact that Celtic had won it 8 years in a row.
Alright, Bampo.
True,
was it no 9? I think it was 9.
Yeah, I'm 9, I somewhat. Well, it makes day, must day. I don't know, they tried to do that minder under when Lennon was actually taking the reserve team under Mowbray, yeah. And then you had Blackburn and Newcastle kind of weekly thing. I don't know if that, maybe they should look to do something like that, maybe try and organise friendlies. We need to try and get players fit rather than, as you say, just throw them straight back in where it's obviously detrimental effect to our team.
Actually, you've not been on since Stephen Johansson. I don't think played for us. How do you think he's done so far?
I was only after his debut when we spoke about the St Mirren game. Oh, he did really well. He did a great game that day. He looked like a fish with a ladder against Aberdeen in the Cup, but I think that was due to the fact that him and Bell were just outnumbered.
Yep.
Just outnumbered in the midfield. But I think the St Johnstone game, he was brilliant. And he glides, he's a bit like Brzezinski at Arsenal, you know, he just kind of glides out of park. I'm really excited. I thought he played well at Hearts as well.
He's going.
He last night, I think he would have played last night. I think he has a permanent fixture in the team now. I don't see him being dropped anytime soon.
He's got an ankle injury, and apparently he might boot for Saturday as well, but.
Saturday, you know,
that means
we'll ruin midfield again or something. Who's going to play the back?
No, that's what I was thinking. We're playing Inverness on Saturday in a game that doesn't really mean much. Actually, Inverness only playing bad. They won 3-0 at Ross County last night. So it might be an interesting game. As you said. Inverness?
Celtic, the young
boy at
the back.
Aye.
Played against
Stifle.
I'm just trying to
play
centre defence.
I'll be Mulgrew.
Well,
Mulgrew and Ambrose.
He's going to leave two in midfield again, won't he?
Aye, but I mean, that'll probably manage against Inverness at home, you're thinking, if it doesn't, we'd be bummed out, but the rest of the people are saying, it's alright, the boys have done great this season, blah, blah, blah.
Aye. Somebody said that was the best they'd seen Celtic play all season. Apart from about 10, 15, 20 minutes after we scored their goal, we looked in there slightly, but I didn't think that for all our Aberdeen or the Dominator, I thought. Didn't they make the keeper make one save?
Well, let's in fact look at that then. When have we really played well this season? Obviously, the Utopia, the Hearts game. We played well when we beat Motherwell 5-0. We played okay. Well, we actually bossed the game against Milan and Milan without having a cutting edge. But really, decent against Barca without doing much against them at home. We can't really see we played great against Karagandy at home because Karagandy were a really, really dreadful team. So, I mean, like, 3 or 4 games at a push we've played well this season?
I would say Motherwell away. Hearts away. Cause to be fair, the Hibs away as well the other week.
Well, maybe, but then Forster kept us in the lead with that, and that gave me a couple of brilliant saves. So.
The St Mirren game as well, but then again, until we scored the second goal, we didn't look like getting the second goal. That game,
kind of
ran away
with
it, but I think if we played well from start to finish, I would
make
really say Milan
away, I thought we played really well. And that was it. Sorry, Europe's concerned.
Europe was a joke, really.
Talk about first and other, you know what I mean? Because that was so long ago, even Samaras was back in the
picture now. can't even say against Ajax at home, were brilliant, because Ajax were the better team at home. Ajax played better at Parkhead than they did at home. Their home stadium, that's how bad we were in both games. I don't think we could
probably
will bang
a
DVD
of
this season, but I don't
think
I'll bang it.
No, well, I don't know. All right enough, we're going for 100, more than 100 points, so I've just got the champagne on ice.
Aye, well, I don't know. It's as if, like, you know, Lennon's just, he's got this big long list of records in his office on a board, and he's just, whenever he, you know, puts a line through a man, he looks at the next one and goes, "Right, this is what we're going for now, lads."
Well,
next it'll be something like most consecutive passes to a Celtic player.
Before we finish up and talk about the remainder of the season, back to last night's game. We're going to have, hopefully, on the pod phone tomorrow, Lee Nostromo, our unionist correspondent, who was at the game last night, so that'll be a good laugh. And Neil Lennon's comments after the game were just stupid, really, weren't they?
He came across as a better young Wayne. I watched it, 7 o'clock, put my phone off and I put Twitter off and put my computer off and all that, and I thought I just sat and I didn't even watch a Man U game in case he went, "Oh, by the way, Celtic is me."
that was never going to happen.
So I sat and I played Grand Theft Auto at 10 o'clock and I went and watched it, and I didn't even, like, I thought the referee did a really bad game, don't get me wrong, and Van Dijk is sent off, Celtic won a free kick which Stokes duly put in the stand, but the guy just kicked Brown, you know, shin high, and they booked him, and then he booked Griffiths, and they booked Beaton, I think it was Beaton that got booked as well.
Ambrose.
They booked Ambrose, and you haven't got any time to say people was making a foul, he booked them, but he did get that kid right, but I did think he'd appeal game, but if I knew straight away Lennon would come out and blame him, but, you know, we were 2-0 down because Lennon never did anything. Aberdeen were always looking like Scotland, you know, it, Villa. I thought if we could get in at Notting Hill, we might just win the game 1-0. But no, Aberdeen were looking at scoring and Lennon never changed it. But he came out and just blame the ref, and Irish had had a penalty. But apart from the fact, you can't complain about Red Gerd because it was Stone Waller and he'd been moaning about it up the other end. And aye, the penalty aside, we didn't do anything else to create a goal. I don't think Stokes, yeah, about three or four shots into Rose Head and I think he hit one in off sea. But apart from that, you know, we didn't create enough to be able to leave that game saying, you know what, apart, you know, we deserved something. I don't see it, and I don't think we deserved any of the game. Aye, we pushed them, we pressed them, but we never put anything together. We were nothing, you know, you weren't saying Celtic are knocking the door here. We went two or three corners, that was it.
Aye,
and then they came out blame the ref, you know, just, it's as if, I've said it for ages now, but the unbeaten record in his passport to England, and that's been taken away from him. So I think that was a reaction for that. He knows people are going to be watching it and going, ah, well, there goes his unbeaten record, he's getting nothing else to play for. And I think instead I came out and said, do you know what, after a year that I should have made a change to stop the team being exposed, no, he was to come out and blame the ref. I don't get it with him. I really don't. He's any type of state, I think, in the last one.
He said that the ref done is over, non-eel. You left it too late to make changes, and by the time you made the changes, the game was just about finished because we're 2-0 down.
Well, that's another thing. Samaras still appears to be above Tricky, but I'll do a bit of and all that on the pecking order. I just don't get it. I honestly don't get it.
Samaras will play more
Samaras
games.
Aye, but Samaras and Stokes never worked with 11 men against Aberdeen. I think it's going to work with 10.
Well, Samaras will play more games between now and the end of the season, I bet.
Oh, he will, because he's Lennon put him out after Aberdeen. When it wasn't really Samaras' fault, to be honest. It was Lennon's fault, but he came in and went, oh, I refuse to blame Samaras. I'm blaming Samaras instead of myself. And then that's him when he's back in there. Aye, he'll play. I don't get it. The guy doesn't
want
to be here.
No, I mean, that was the thing. We knew, going over old ground, but you were known the last podcast, so we knew that Ledley and Samaras were probably not going to stay. So they shouldn't have played at all in running up to the transfer deadline. It was meaningless.
No, it was ridiculous that they done it, because especially with the Samaras one, like the guys that are contact, so any time he pulls on Celtic, especially now, it's all out except getting the trophy, he's playing for his future for somebody else, so who's that benefit? It's not benefiting us, he's playing to impress somebody else, man.
And
he should be getting a chance. Baldy likes to impress Lennon, Hookie likes to impress Lennon, Director likes to impress Lennon, why not give these guys a chance, young boys a chance, for players that want to play for Celtic rather than somebody that's playing for one, a spot in Brazil, and two, you know, a move elsewhere.
Well, that brings us on to the last subject we'll talk about tonight before I let you go. The hopes for the rest of the season. I seen on Twitter that a third snarling man, Stannis, was saying that he hopes that the youth players will play. But, I mean, I just kind of see that happening. Maybe one or two will go off the bench, but I think it'll be the same old guys trying to get this meaningful, hugely significant, even though we've done it before, we got 102 points in 2002, 100-point thing that Lennon wants to break. He'll go on about that on Friday, I bet, if he doesn't, I'm wrong. But I bet he mentions wanting to break this 100-point barrier, which will be meaningless.
That's the thing, though, even with the clean sheet and the unbeaten record, they spoke about it as if it was like a right. You know, as if it was his right to go and win these things. And see, at the end of the day, right, 100 points is great. Whatever, brilliant. An unbeaten league season's brilliant. But, you know, who Aberdeen or whatever, Safeco or Dumbarton or Albion Rovers or Inverness, you know, they're going to share the two trophies. They should be. If that's just to, you know, why? Like, you know, unbeaten's good, don't get me wrong, but we might have won cups. Cups, especially at this time, you know, cups are the only real time that a team will say, do you know what, beat Celtic today. You know, you're only that's when you're going to get a decent game. But like you'll come out and say on Friday on, or you know, these players or the fans and blah blah, and you know, but it'll get the fans back on side.
I don't forget. The other week, I think before the St Johnstone game, Charlie McGrew said that we've had a good season because we've got in the Champions League. Woo! Let's not talk about how we were humiliated in the Champions League, but...
No, let's not talk about the fact that for 5 games we were absolutely diabolical. When the other one that we played good in, we never had somebody up front to score a goal for us.
Now we scored a penalty and a deflected shot.
But, I mean, Charlie, you maybe start with that, I mean...
Aye, well.
But you know what? It's going to be right. It'll be all about no, no. The players will come out and play for the fans, and all the fans deserve it. But God do love you, Neil. But
I don't.
My hopes for the season is that he plays Foster and goal and 10 young boys on Saturday. Yeah. And just play Fisher. Maybe I don't know. Look at the back.
Baldy.
The boys that played in Turkey. Baldy, Berigta, Bukay, play the three.
But Griffiths will get a run. Griffiths will not get dropped now.
Griffiths deserves a run in the team. I would say Griffiths is maybe a first team player than Baldy and Bukay, but
aye.
I do think Griffiths deserves a run in the team. You know, he can find his feet, because I don't think he's done much wrong. He was quiet last night, but you know, it's difficult, cause I don't know where Lennon was telling him to play. I think he was telling him to play up front when we were down to 10 men. He was trying to drag back. But my hopes would be just to give Baldy, Bukay, Berigta, Griffiths, you know, not obviously not a bad time, but you know, give them a run. Let Beaton continues for him. But bring in young boys. That boy Heron's playing well for reserves, boy Henderson.
Aye.
There's good young boys there, you know, give them a chance. There's no point in hanging after them. We've got nothing to play for. We could lose every game to the end of the season, and the chances are that we'll still win the league.
That's true.
4 points.
Aye, the great Aberdeen would probably drop points to you. The great Aberdeen, who Hearts have beat twice this season. Come on.
Aye, but they'll beat Aberdeen will beat it again, probably.
Aye, probably. And
we'll win, scrappy one, nothing. A Stokes tapping, and Lennon will be coming out and going, oh, that's how tough the league is. That just shows you they can beat Envy. It's over, isn't it? I mean, we always do it over them, but the season's about bad of shouting, and to be fair, if they were to hold us a trophy on Saturday, you know what I mean? I think Envy would complain. The chance now, though, is for Lennon to. If Lennon's going to be here next season, he's got to build a team, which I'd read in the photo, but you know, if he's going to go, then, which I think he will go in the summer.
You do?
There's nothing keeping him here, I don't think.
You do think he will go?
Aye,
well, on the last pod, as you know, I thought he'd go. Stannis thought he'd stay. Now, see last night, all that stuff about blaming the referee, that sort of struck me as like, well, I've got nothing to lose. I'm going to be leaving. I'm just going to say what I want. Do you agree with that?
Aye, definitely. I think it's a shoo-in for Norwich.
I think
Hooper's putting up a bend in there.
And the guy, David McNally, chief executive at Norwich, used to work at Celtic in the Martin O'Neill years.
I think it's a stick-on for Norwich, even in the Championship, if they get relegated. Because if you've seen their running, they've got some last 4 games, man. If they're in the bottom three by the time they come to the last 4 games, they're gone. I think he's a shoe in it. There's something about him. Do you know that kind of like Robbie Keane to Celtic? You know what I mean? He kind of knew it was going to happen sometime. I just think he's a shoe in. I think there's too much talk now. I think Shooting's going to do a job no matter what. And I think they're going to look at him and they're going to say, right, Neil, there's, you know, 20 million to build, buy 6 or 7 players. That suits him in the ground. Him and, you know, me, I'll be all good in there and they'll be probably really well. You know,
no,
I don't know how he'll be. I'm kind of part of me thinking that he's going to go and, you know, totally flop, and people are going to kind of see what he is. He's a kind of naive manager, but he could go down there and flourish. And I think Norwich are going to take that chance because I think Cooper's been in here. You know, he's got Snodgrass as well, who's probably formed a. I think it's a big, good club for him to go to, you know.
I think one way or another that Robert Snodgrass will be working with Neil Lennon sooner or later, so make of that what you will, i.e. he'll either be playing for us or he'll be playing for Norwich. But I don't want to labour it because we talked about it in the last pod for ages, but it really would be for the best if at the end of the season, on the day we get the trophy and probably a stadium that's no full, Lennon says, over the great 4 years, I've done as much as I could and I feel it's time for a new challenge, because I don't really, especially if we fail to get in the Champions League, and I don't think we'll get in the Champions League with this team we've got now.
I think the best thing
that could happen to them was a year in the Europa, but that'd be catastrophic for the finances. But and the thing with the tide, I said that in the last pod, by the way, it'd be best if we don't get in the Champions League next year. But you broke up a bit there, but I... That was
probably not a better thing to play Celtic than the new actually, right?
No, that's true. This Celtic team, you could be kidding and say it's in transition, or you could just say it's not really very good. And it's been bullying bad teams in the Premier League. We came up against not even a good Aberdeen team, that's too much. A competent Aberdeen team with a good manager in two games, and we fail miserably, especially in the first game that was the only game left this season. This Celtic team really isn't very good. In fact, last year we were on about how bad we were and we were, but last year's Celtic team is better than this year's Celtic team, I think.
I would say that. And it's not just obvious because you're Wanyama and they played a lot, they snapped up a lot in the league last year, but they did play some good football, you know, at times. The summer football last year was brilliant. I mean, this year's, you know, I said, like, obviously people saying, oh, Celtic won, I'm on this ball, and it's bad for Scottish football, but, you know, the worst thing, we're doing exactly the worst thing, is winning games 1-2-0, you know, 3-4 getting it, winning 6-7-0 every week. You would go to Parkhead every week to see hundreds of goals, you know what I mean, to see good football. We're winning 1-2-0, you know, and it's kind of tap-ins, and, you know, you're getting the odd goal through the side of the box, and it's just dead boring to watch. And I thought, well, we really know this is a huge chance for us, you know what I mean, a huge chance for Celtic to put the marker down for the next 10, you know, here we go, 10 in a row, whatever. This is the next 10, 15 year, we'd have a good chance to set ourselves up, and I don't think, we've not took it.
And by the time we end up playing Rangers again, by the time we play Rangers like for the first time ever, I'll probably be back to being relatively close again.
Then if Lenny's still here, he'll trust Stokes this time.
No comment. I mean, if Lennon's still here when Rangers, we play Rangers, I'll be watching a different sport.
Right. I'd be surprised, but...
No, I mean, I can only see Lennon staying for... If he stays, I think it'll be for one more season, and then before we end up having to start the 125 years rivalry again that's never existed, Lennon will probably... Eh? You broke up, Bruce. You'll need to say it again.
If I leave, because, you know, God forbid somebody else won in the week. You know what I mean? For him to go, I don't see. We need to set our standards higher than winning the SPL just through circumstance. But, what is it going to take? You know, any other deterioration in this team, you know, I don't think we'd lose the league, I think we'd still win the league, but just seeing Aberdeen were able to beat every other team 9 times out of 10, you know what I mean, you'd get scared. As I said in the cup game, you know, in the week, I was saying that when we concede a goal, you know, I hope we're formatting up when we concede it, because I don't think they've got a response.
That's what I was thinking. When this Celtic team goes behind, I wouldn't trust them to win the game.
No, they don't seem to have a response to going behind.
But
last night, they seemed
shell-shocked,
wanting the whistle. I can't
even think of the last time we came from behind to win a game. I think we've done it this season.
We've hardly been behind.
That's true. We've drew the games we've been behind, apart from the last night. Right. I don't think we have. I think we've drew 3 or 4, but we're getting beat at Inverness. We're getting beat at Hibs. And I can't remember the other one. Somebody can tweet.
Dundee United.
Dundee United, I was scored in the last minute, Charlie. So there you go. I was hoping the podcast would be a bit more cheerful this week, but maybe Lee will be going bananas tomorrow, because he was tweeting a storm last night about the game. So hopefully...
Him and his
dad
with Matt's lovely opposite scarves on.
His father had a fetching Aberdeen scarf and he'd some tarrier scarf on, Lee did.
Lee must have been trying to nick it off him when he got home.
Aye, wear it to the cup final. Right, well, okay, Bruce. Well, thanks for coming on the show. Hopefully, when you're next on in a couple of weeks, we'll have hopefully some new manager news, but maybe wait another couple of weeks for that.
This 40 odd minutes or whatever will just be
times
6 until July.
No, I mean, something exciting will happen. Maybe we'll announce that we're signing some superstar, but that'll not happen either.
Did Martin might win the Scottish Cup?
Beating Rangers in the Dream Final.
Aye.
We can have a Dumbarton special that week.
You can come down here and bring it for the stadium.
The celebration.
Dean Murray might not get back.
He will recognise you again and just run away. Right. Okay, Bruce. Right. Okay, Bruce. Thanks for coming on. Speak to you in a couple of weeks. Hail, hail. Right. So, back again in the wonderful, marvellous pod phone. And we've already spoke to Bruce Hillboy this week. And for an exciting treat, we've actually got someone who was there to see a beloved clean sheet record and unbeaten run record crash to a halt. It's our Northern / Edinburgh correspondent, Lee Nostromo. Hi, Lee.
Hail, hail, brother.
I'm in tears now after hearing that. Lee, as you live up north for the time being and from Aberdeen, before the game, were the Aberdeen fans expecting to beat us yet again?
Oh, they've been expecting to, in the both games this season, the two games in the past month, they've expected to rightly beat us. I mean, I remembered when they announced that the top tier would be closed for the cup game. I think it was like Joey King, like an Aberdeen player, I think that's his name. He used to be a legend for them, and he talked about how it was just a total slap in the face that this is the biggest game of the season and Celtic fans can't be bothered to turn up, so we're going to go there and we'll give them a bloody nose and show them they shouldn't have taken it lightly, and they proved that again. I mean, and then even the other day it was Johnny Hayes of all people that went, now we're going to shut off this record, we're going to go for them and beat them, and he needed, and they did. So, you know, they've been right in both times this season. They've had, you know, the arrogance to say that they're going to do it, and they've lived up to their word.
And it's usually us that are arrogant as well. Just to say, once again, blow my own trumpet, that I did predict Aberdeen would beat us in the cup. Pause for a round of applause. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, I said in about December time that Aberdeen would have a better season than us. I mean, the only thing that we've got to go for in this season really is that we're going to win the league and, what, we're 24 points or something ahead. And consider we've spent $12.5 million more than Aberdeen in both the summer window and the current window, that's nothing to really brag about. We're out of both cups when we could have gone to the finals at our home stadium. We've actually gone backwards while they've gone forwards, whereas Aberdeen could realistically finish second. They could win the League Cup. They could get to a Scottish Cup semi-final or final. And, you know, that's on a bunch of free transfers like Willow Flood and Barry Robson. That's a better season than us. I mean, we have the Champions League, obviously, but that wasn't even an achievement to have got there. We'd be a part-time Irish team, Elfsborg, who has fucking Mo Bangura playing up front for them, and what was it? Who's the other team that we played? Oh,
Karagandy,
who are the absolute diddies in Europe. So that's not even an achievement to have done that. That is the base, you know, minimum that we should have achieved this season. And then the European campaign was a total write-off. So at the end of this season, if you compare what Aberdeen have achieved, relatively speaking, they'll have had a vastly superior season to us, if things go to plan.
Before we make it an Aberdeen loving, it does show that Aberdeen are pretty crap with the fact that Thistle beat them 3-1 on Saturday.
Absolutely, I mean,
that makes your defeats even more, well, especially the cup one, that makes your defeats even more embarrassing.
Totally, because Aberdeen, my old man's an Aberdeen fan, and he agreed with me on this one. Aberdeen were there for the taking in that second half. I mean, they were all over us in the first half and were rightly ahead. But in that second half, we should have drawn that game or at least won them. They, you know, they just totally bottled it. They were just, they couldn't put a single pass together. And I don't think they had a chance to score a third goal until about the 90th minute when Niall McGinn had a breakaway and Adam Rooney scuffed it there. They were there for the taking. They absolutely bottled it. But we just couldn't put any sort of thing together. We just seemed to be kicking rush as if it was, we scored with what, like 25, 30 minutes to go? Plenty of time to get another goal or two goals, but it was just kick rush. As I just couldn't understand why they were playing like that. I mean, I don't understand it.
Well, it's all down to our beloved manager, but we'll talk about him in a wee while. So, your thoughts in the game the other night then? You said that we probably should get a point. Now, Neil Lennon did have a rather daft rant after the game that it wasn't a red card. Now, me and Bruce, as you'll hear when you no doubt listen to the podcast, both thought it was a red card. And do you think it was a red card?
Oh, it was a stonewall. I never... Yep. You can always tell in an away end or a home stadium when fans disagree with a red card. There's a sense of shock. Like when Scott Brown, I mean, in retrospect, it was a red card, but you could feel it in the stadium at the time. Ooh, that's a bit contentious, but every Celtic fan there just knew. I thought, from the angle I was at, I thought it's a red card and he's given a penalty, but obviously the free kick, I couldn't quite see that it was just outside the box. I mean, it's a stonewall red card. I mean, he is, you know, he's not through on goal. I mean, he's up, he's to the, you know, the side of the goal, but, you know, it's still denying a goal scoring opportunity. It's a stonewall red card. I mean, I don't think any sane person, to be honest, can deny it's not a red card.
Are you suggesting that Neil Lennon is not sane?
Well, I mean, his tactical decisions were certainly proved it. I mean, I couldn't understand our tactics, and the first half especially, the second half just as much so. But how, against 11 men who have recently beat us, with 10 men, with two in midfield, we've got Brown and Beaton, and I thought Beaton had a fantastic game.
He's a great
player. How he expects them to cover the entire width of the midfield while keeping three up top. I mean, we occasionally had Stokes dropping wide, you know, when we weren't in possession, but Stokes, Common, and Griffiths aren't really going to backtrack. It just was the most, and we were just being pummeled down that our left-hand side the entire time, and it's no surprise that the second goal came from that. Anyone could have seen it from watching that game, from that red card to when they scored, that was just going to happen. I mean, it took a worldie to start off, but that doesn't cover up for the fact that there was so many opportunities opportunities for us to be completely taken advantage of. It was just, it was either tactically brave or tactically stupid, and I think it's got to be the latter.
Aye, on to the goals we gave away. As you say, the first goal was a sensational goal, no taking that away. Second goal, there was pretty abject defending, nobody matched the run. Was it Rooney that got the second goal, aye, Rooney?
It was Rooney that scored. Rooney, Niall McGinn sent it in, and then Rooney scored.
Nobody matched him.
I mean, there was just no one. You had Izaguirre, but anyone could go down that left-hand flank. There was no protection for Izaguirre. And the way we play, we still have full-backs sort of bombing on. I mean, Adam Matthews spent pretty much the whole time hugging, you know, the halfway line. We had, you know, two at the back, zero protection. And it was just, it was an accident waiting to happen. And
We should have took one of the more forward thinking players off.
Absolutely.
But left that day half time, we took Commons off, and for what I saw at the game, Commons was very poor and he's definitely needing a rest.
He had a very poor game, and relatively speaking, I'm a fan of Stoke. He does the business 9 times out of 10 for me, and you know, in the league, and he was working hard and Griffiths was working hard, but Griffiths can play one up front. What we should have done is, you know, pack the midfield, you know, not so much in a negative way. At least it could have put Boa Richter on the midfield, you know, we could have put Commons out wide or Forrest, and then, you know, we've got one up to just keep the possession, because we're away from home and it was just, everything was just coming at us in the first half, and it was only Aberdeen's lack of bottle that, you know, stopped them probably pushing on in the second half. That showed them they still got that sort of small team mentality, that they just didn't go in for the kill in the second half.
If we look at individual performances, even though our defensive record has been great in the league, and well done to Fraser Forster, etc., I have to say, Adam Matthews shouldn't be playing, I don't think. He's still no fit.
Obvious since the Aberdeen Cup game.
Me and Bruce talked about it, and we talked about it in the last pod with Stannis, that bringing Matthews back in instead of Fisher, who'd been playing well, was a disaster. And because we've got all these relatively meaningless games left, I'd definitely rest Matthews, because he's off the boil and he's no fit.
I totally agree. I mean, it's been obvious since the Cup game. I mean, just easing in, substitute appearances, you know, we've got a large amount of right-backs. I think we can take a break with, you know, one of them is not a priority position. I mean, I thought he didn't contribute really anything. He didn't look interested. He always seemed to be halfway up the park, but he wasn't, you know, getting the ball. He wasn't really doing anything, to be honest. And, you know, I think the only reason he's getting a game over Fisher is obviously just, you know, the wages that they're wanting. They see him as a better, you know, player in the long run, but he's just not good enough right now. He needs a break and to get back from injury properly.
Ambrose reverted back to his last season extravaganza. He wasn't very good in the Cup game, and he really was stinking the other night.
I mean, that really was just the most shocking back pass. I didn't realise how bad it was until I got home and watched the highlights. It was just ridiculous. I don't know what was going through his head or anything like that. And then, you know, maybe it's just me, but I thought Van Dijk, 9 times out of 10, I from my point of view, I think the player should just let the guy go through, score, keep the man advantage for at least another 8 minutes. You'd feel confident Celtic could come back with 11 men against Aberdeen. You know, you'd largely think that. But I think that bloody clean sheet record was just going through the head, and he just didn't want to risk that and, you know, to come out before he got into the box. So I think that's why he made that decision. But maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I think caused it.
The thing is, do you think the players would have been, if he'd let Pollock get the shot through, the players think would have been confident that Forster would have saved it, seeing as how he's not given away a league game for like 12 games
absolutely.
Or something? I think it was just a sort of typical football player panic, rash moment thing that go Van Dijk sent off.
Yeah, I just don't think that our team's used to people having a go at them. I mean,
you look at
the league, I mean, who's, you know, Aberdeen, you've got the confidence in themselves just now and are going to go for us. You know, they've recently beaten us, they've given us a bloody nose, so they'll come right at us. Whereas, you know, you look at the front attacking options of every other team in the SPL, who's really going to have a go at us? John Sutton, Stevie May, you know, they're all right players, but, you know, they're not going to come charging at us. They're not going to be, you know, chest pumped up and they're going to be running at our defence looking to score. So, you know, I just don't believe that's been a real test. I mean, it is a nice record, relatively speaking, but we've not had a Rangers or, you know, any real good... oh, yes, Sevco 118 or whatever
that's they're called. That's better.
You know, to attack us or go at us, you know. It's been a nice achievement, but it's nothing special. It's, you know, it's something they'll probably... The only thing that we're really going for is that we'd probably have had an end-of-season DVD review, probably just called it Unbeaten. That's all it would have really meant. It, you know, no one's going to be talking about it in years to come. Because I still remember the Van der Sar British record, because that was an achievement. You think of all the English Premier League strikers that he kept out, all these attacking midfielders, that was an achievement. And I remember it was Lovenkranz that broke the record when they played against Newcastle. But it's nothing special, really.
Then this season DVD, I'll just be called Neil, and I'll be purchasing a copy, reviewing the podcast, of course.
Exactly. Yeah, I'll be ripping a copy off the internet myself.
You mean you won't be getting money at the club? That's an outrage.
Oh, I know, it's shocking, isn't it? I'll probably give him more to Aberdeen this season than
Damn you. Now, me and Bruce, on our segment, were talking about how there seems to be a mentality problem with a Celtic team, that as soon as we go a goal behind, that's it, we can't cope. And we were thinking... Because we've had this dominant league record, and we haven't won a game, we've been behind this season. In fact, when we were behind Inverness, Hibs, and Dungeness United, we came back to draw them all. And then, of course, in the Cup, we were getting beat with 40 minutes still to go, and the players ran out of ideas. The other night, you can say, okay, they're only 10 men, but we still kept Aberdeen practically the whole second half. So, we know there's a problem with arrogance in this team, and I think there's
I totally agree with you.
There's definitely a problem with, don't know. I think it's Lennon and the players with coming back for behind on, because you can't say they're no used to it. They're just no very good at it.
I was thinking that the other day. That I was thinking about those games like the Inverness Hibs, but I just don't think they're used to being in that. And it just showed in their mentality with how they played the other night when they were behind. They got it back to 2-1. You know, well done, but they just didn't know how to play in that sort of position. Most teams, when you see sort of, maybe say, a Man U or Chelsea or something, and they're behind, and they keep the ball and they make chances, you know, they keep the ball, they probe, but Celtic were just playing kick rush, bombing everyone forward. You know, it was just really desperate the entire time. There was no cool heads just going, right, we've got it to 2-1, we've got 30 minutes to go. I felt confident we could have got a point or something more the way we were, you know, the way Aberdeen was there. But they just, it played into Aberdeen. If you're pinging long balls up, and they have, you know, a back four which is tall and physical, and then they added a three centre-half towards the end, it's played right into their hands. It was just so naive, the players and the tactics, that it was just that they were clearly rushing the entire time because they didn't know how to play when behind, you know, in a domestic sense.
We should just say before we end the section in this game that we should have had a penalty when Reynolds handballed it.
I don't know.
No, I think it was.
I did call, I screamed for it and at the time, and I thought it was a penalty. When I'd watched it on the TV, I'd have been annoyed if it was maybe given to us, to be honest. I've seen them given, but, you know, it would have covered up, you know,
true.
A terrible performance, really. But, you know, I've seen them given, but I'd have been livid if that had been given against us, to be honest.
And we did really deserve to lose. Right, so as this is your first interview here, a segment rather, on the podcast, let's talk about your thoughts in this season so far a wee bit more. It really has been poor. The highlight, I suppose. Well, I was saying thing the other day, I think I was talking to Stannis, who sadly isn't available this week. The only things that have happened are we beat a very, very poor Carrigandy team. We could have lost to. They hit the Bart Park Heed. We beat Ajax in a poor performance. We've got this clean sheet record, which fair dues to Foster, but I mean, nothing really to write home about. And then that's it. I mean, if we were given grades for this season as a whole so far, I'd give it a D-. What would you give it?
Yeah, I'd probably give it a C or a D. I mean, I agree with it. When I think, right, what would be the highlights of the season? Being Carrigandy, I wouldn't have even given the Ajax game a pass.
No, because we were very poor that night.
No, we didn't. It covered up us how awful we were that night in Europe. It was the sort of result you just think, there's no great pride in that. And, you know, I wasn't surprised that we got, you know, pummeled in the next leg by Ajax. It was just, an awful, awful campaign, really. I mean, beating Hearts 7-0 was nice because, you know, even though it's a bunch of kids and ditties, I mean, it's always nice to beat them, especially when half of your friends are jambos. That's always nice.
That was the utopia, don't forget.
Yeah, it was just...
We'll have to see. That performance and the 5-0 against Motherwell were probably the two best performances seen, but since then, they reverted back to mostly sluggish victories. So.
Absolutely. I mean, it reminds me, this whole season's reminding me of Strachan's last season. I think up until the other day against Aberdeen, I really think it's time for Lennon to go. We've got to that sort of that Strachan edge of the season where, you know, thanks for all any good stuff you've done, but it's time for a change. We need to freshen up, new perspectives, just bring in new blood, new ideas. You just feel, you know, it's a tedious sort of workmanlike team. I mean, we have spent $12.5 million over in, you know, the summertime and the winter time, and what have we got to show for it? Really nothing. We've spent all this money on Pukki and Baldi. That's like combined $4 million. Borek, what was he? $2 million? $1 million?
Something
like that.
We'll say about one. That makes it sound less awful.
Exactly. So, you know, you've spent about $5 million on attacking talent. And how many goals have they got between them? Borek has got an injury time goal against Aberdeen. Pukki scored the second or sort of third goal in a 2-3-0 victory. Baldi's scored one or two games, something like that.
Aye.
You know, it's pretty, you know, that's why I don't mind Stokes, for all how
they've got less than 10 goals between them, the three of them.
Yeah, but, absolutely. I mean, that's why I don't mind Stokes when, you know, you think 1 million and, you know, he may be fucking shit 5 times out of 10, but he still contributes, you know, goals, and you can, you know, he can change games, you know, as the league is sort of just now, and that, you know, that's fine. He does his job, you know, relatively well. But the rest of them, you know, what are they contributing for all that sort of money? Someone has to take the blame, whether it's John Park, Lennon, the scouting, that we spend that much money in the FPL and they've done nothing. I mean, we should have gone for the Johnny Russells. You know, I think we've sort of compensated for that in signing Griffiths, despite the fact he's a total twat. He'll score. But he is.
Yes,
maybe,
I agree.
You know,
agree.
Maybe he's growing up and stuff. You know, time will tell. You know, but he'll score goals in the SPL because he's proven it, like Johnny Russell did. But we chose Baldi over him, and we've clearly, you know, fucked that up. But it's just, there's no player this season that's really stood out. Virgil van Dijk, but that's a defender. You know, you don't watch football for clean sheet records or, you know, amazing defending. You watch it for scoring goals. And, you know, we've spent all this money, and it's just not showing on the park that, of this attack and investment. I mean, those players were clearly brought in for the Champions League in mind, especially Pukki and Boric. They've done nothing. I mean, as I say, I can barely think of a couple of games where I thought, oh, God, I missed that one, or, oh, that was a great one. I mean, the cup games have been shite apart from the one. I mean, the sort of season's been summed up in that Morton game. I mean, I don't know about you, but every time I watch Sky Sports News on a Saturday and I see Morton again pumped it again and again, I think that was the team that beat us in the cup. It's just embarrassing, to be honest. And I think
Morton are 12 points at the bottom, I think, behind at the bottom of the championship.
Exactly.
So that says it all.
It's just embarrassing. I think the season's just been a total write-off. I mean, it could have been a great season. I mean, especially the cups at Parkhead. That's the sort of stuff that should motivate a player, you know, drive a player, and nothing. Pumped out by Morton and pumped out by Aberdeen in a half-empty stadium. Just the sense of apathy is just clear for everyone to see. And I see Lennon's on the back page of one of the Daily Rebel or whatever it is today, just complaining. They're all saying that, oh, I could be here for another 4 years. But I think a manager has a life, you know, a lifetime, and I think he's reached the end of it, to be honest. I thought up until Tuesday he should go, and, you know, I wanted him to go, but I thought, with it being a World Cup summer and all the hassle that brings along, you know, would it be a good time to change a manager, especially with Champions League qualifiers? And I thought, you know, maybe yeah, maybe no, but maybe I should give him the benefit of the doubt one more season, because it is a World Cup win, and just it would probably be too much hassle bringing in someone new. But then after Tuesday and that, you know, tactical performance, I think he just needs to go now, season that we can go into these Champions League qualifiers not having done a Gordon Strachan, where we've got someone new in, there's the turnover of players and, you know, what have you, someone sort of molds a team. But, you know, I don't think that's going to happen. I just don't think it's in Celtic's DNA, to be honest, to sack him now. But maybe I'm wrong.
Well, as you well know, I'm not a big fan of Neil Lennon. I agree, it would be for the best if he announced maybe when we're getting the league trophy that he's leaving it. He's leaving at the end of the season. I did think that he would leave after the, in the podcast after the Aberdeen Cup game, but now I'm thinking that he'll probably stay for another season. I hope he doesn't. I think it'd be best for him, for the fans, for everybody at Parkhead really to make a change, but I think he'll stay, and I think that we'll I'm highly dubious that we'll get into the Champions League. I know the teams we'll play are basically crap, but the way we struggled last year, the team isn't significantly any better. We've no any guarantee Fraser Foster or Van Dijk, especially Foster, will be playing for us in July.
Yeah, Foster's going to go.
And Foster will go, and I mean, there's already fans, the dafties will bat Lennon, whatever it is, because they actually support Neil Lennon more than Celtic.
Exactly.
There's definitely a lot of people now that think it's right for a change, and I think if we don't qualify for the Champions League in next season, going with what will be an even duller domestic league, because we've got no Hearts next season either.
Exactly.
I think that the fans will turn in Lennon and the board, who none of us are really fans. You can't really be fans if our team's bored. And the board will have a decision to make, because I think the attendances will go through the floor.
Absolutely.
If we don't get in the Champions League, the attendances will go through the floor. They're already bad enough as it is. But, I mean, the lack of interest next season will be crippling if we don't get in the Champions League. And with this, and not great Celtic team, Neil Lennon's no learning for his mistakes after 4 years. It's like the quarterfinal was like Ross County again. George Samaras was absolute crap. It was like 4 years later, nothing's changed. And I hope if we do get a new manager and we don't just go for somebody like Owen Coyle because he's an ex-Celtic player, I hope we do have a wild card, but as you say, that's not in our DNA, and more likely it'll be Owen Coyle, and that'll not be much better probably than Neil Lennon.
Yeah. Exactly, it's just like he seems to, I think it was in your last podcast, he keeps making the same mistakes again, and that was typified in the Aberdeen defeat the other day, just, you know, an exposed midfield the entire time. I mean, it reminded me of this Champions League qualifiers where, you know, he's almost playing with three up front in the entire game. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're Chelsea or Celtic. It's, you know, foolish to be playing that. We had, like, Pookie and Stokes and Commons, you know, all playing up front. And they're not exactly going to be the hard-working players, you know, tracking back and contribute to the team. You pack the midfield in Europe, and, you know, you take it from there. I mean, in the midfield at times, we're against Barcelona, Ajax and Milan. And then we've got Brown, you know, Beaton, Kyle, whoever. These are just getting pummeled with, you know, all this extra midfield. It was just such naivety to play like that. I just don't understand what, you know, he's just not learned from it. It's just foolish. You know, he's taken almost like how he'd play in the SPL and playing it against, you know, the La Liga's finest, Ajax, you know. Baffling.
When we look back, I'd say in maybe like 10-15 years, when we're all old men-ish and middle-aged men, and Neil Lennon, surely God isn't involved with Celtic anymore, we'll think, look at the chances we've threw away. We've got practically no competition for the last two seasons. The season before, Rangers were finished in the middle of that season, so that's the last 2.5 seasons, and look at all the trophies we've thrown away. Really, especially in the cups, just pitifully bad. And when we look back at these years, and when a couple of years' time when we're back going heat to heat with Rangers, which is what will happen no matter what MD says, and we'll be close, no doubt. And everybody will be back up for again because we'll be beating Rangers again, and we all love that. But we'll look and we'll see. These really were terrible mistakes. Look at all the pitiful cup defeats we've had. No, just Aberdeen, no Morton. I mean, losing to Kilmarnock in that Ross County, losing to Kilmarnock in that final, that was humiliating. St Mirren, Hearts, the list
Rangers
is,
as well, yeah.
Rangers when they were a bad Rangers team. The list goes on, and yeah, not a very happy podcast, Simi, but then, really, that's Celtic's fault.
The cups are your bread and butter. I mean, especially over the past 2 years and probably this year coming up before Rangers, you know, return, if that's how the timetable goes. It's just the cups are what, you know, the glory days. You know, you see it in the celebrations the past two seasons when we won the cup. It's like, aye, well done, that's nice. It's, you know, a nice day, nice to get the trophy. But it doesn't feel that, yes, or we've really achieved something. But you get that with a cup run, a day at Hampden, and we've just fucked it time and time again. I remember being at the Ross County game, and I took a girlfriend at the time along and to my flatmate, and I just couldn't believe the shocking performance that day. And, you know, even after, I thought, you know what, I'll give Lennon a chance. I like the way he spoke, and I thought, despite the fact we fucked up the league the following season, I was really impressed by, you know, some of the players he brought in. I mean, Ledley, you know, for his first season was good. Hooper was cracking. Stokes was scoring goals domestically. You know, you thought this team was going to build towards something. And that's one thing that bugs me about Lennon as well, is you look at the players that have really come on under him, Hooper, Forster, Wanyama, and you think these are players that have come on in spite of him. He's not really taken a player and made them a better player. I mean, whether that's the league or him, it's really, you know, remains to be seen. But the players that have really shined, gone on for big money, the players that have grown not because of him, but in spite of him, and, you know, I don't see any players that have improved. You look at James Forrest, and he came onto the scene. I remember going to his first game when he made his debut in a squad, and I thought, that's an exciting-looking player. Just no one's really come on since then. You know, he almost seems to ignore our youth players. You know, we've had the odd flashes here at Fisher and, you know, whoever, really.
Giyok, I suppose.
Yeah, there's just none. It doesn't seem to be playing the youth, and that was one thing I thought. You know, I don't mind Rangers going, but we need to give the youth a chance. Take advantage now, because, you know, we're not going to do it when they come back. You really think in 2 years' time, running into an Old Firm game, and he's going to be filling the team with a Marcus Fraser or a whoever, you know, the upcoming starters? We had the chance to do it now, and we blew it. Really, we're not going to do it next year, and we're not going to do it now. I mean, he says, oh, I want to win the league so I can give the youth players a run out. Why not give them a run out now? It doesn't make a difference when the league was won the first day of the season. You know, you don't need to wait until you're over the finishing line to give, you know, a good youth player a run out. It's just, that's why I think we need to get rid of Lennon. Just bring in someone fresh so that's looking at all these players, you know, the first team, you know, the reserve team, and, you know, he's giving them all a blank slate and going, oh, I'll pick this chap who maybe coming through the reserve or the youth team and giving him a chance. It's just, he's just not taking advantage, as you say, of this amazing opportunity.
Yep, and the football we've played since that 2010-11 season, well, even though we lost the league, we did play football, the football we played fell off the cliff. Like, since then, we've been poor. By the way, I know you mentioned the youth setup there. Now, I was going to tweet this the other day, and I thought, I better know in case I sound stupid, or I'll get it wrong, but it wouldn't surprise me. I've no heard anything that if when Lennon leaves, Stevie Frail, the youth coach, ends up being our first team manager.
You know, I don't know. I remember seeing Stevie Frail at Ibrox away one time. Him and his entire family were sitting in front of us, and I'd forgotten that he was the youth team coach and stuff, but, you know, remains to be seen. I don't know.
I hope that doesn't happen, but it wouldn't surprise me if it did.
Probably not. He'd probably be the interim manager when Lennon gets the sack. Next season, if we get pumped out of the Champions League qualifiers. But, you know, you can imagine him and John Kennedy probably would be the interim coaches, you know. But
they'll be running up to John Park to ask him what he did.
Exactly. It's time for a change. I think everyone, you know, if they're being honest, we've not taken advantage of this great chance that we had, and, you know, football's pretty treated. You know, you may have no Rangers, but if you're, you know, playing good, fast, attacking football, you'll get the punters through the door. You know, they'll turn up if you're putting on that sort of performance they put on at Hearts away and Motherwell away. You know, if you can't put on those performances, you know, pretty much most weeks, you'll get the fans through the door. But, you know, we're playing, as I say, just like Strachan in his final season, you know, scoring the odd goal to win a match and just coming up relatively short most times. I mean, we won a cup in that sort of last season, but
we've done our best to throw it away, though, in the semi-final against Dundee United. Every time they attacked, we went to pieces, don't forget.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, disappointed in them.
We won't play the youngsters because George Samaras will get an emotional farewell last run of games, probably, is my prediction.
Yeah. I mean, he was came on the other day. I mean, he had, I think he had one good run, and then he had either a cross or a shot, but it was woeful. He's just, I really don't like him, to be honest with you. I mean, last season, you know what, you proved me wrong. I hold my hands up. Brilliant performances, especially in Europe. But this season, what has he done? You know, he's with some. Lennon's been awful. I want him to get a new contract. Well, he's not going to sign this new contract. I mean, he scored a hat trick against Killy. I can't even think of.
He scored the consolation goal when we're 6-0 down against Barcelona.
Exactly. He scored the odd couple of goals in the qualifiers, but let's be honest, it was against Cliftonville. I mean, it's a bunch of. Those teams we play in the Champions League qualifiers, those are people you'd have your pre-season friendly first couple of games against. You know, there's just. He's done nothing. And I look at him and I just really hate him. Sometimes I think he comes on and he slows down the game. He faffs about, and you know, last season, as I say, he's just proved me totally wrong. I applaud him, but now I just look at him and I just think, just get out of the club. Just, you know, don't play him at all. He doesn't want to sign. You know, he's done some good stuff for the club, but you know, give someone else a chance. Play bloody Bo Richter on the left. You know, he's got a 4-year deal or something. He clearly wants to be here. Play him in that position. You know, don't play Samaras just for the sake of a name, because he's done nothing this season to deserve any sort of, you know, starting reputation or even being a proven impact sub.
And of course, he was thrown in after no playing for weeks in the cup game with inevitable consequences. He set up the goal and then done shit all for the rest of the game.
Exactly. Samaras isn't the sort of person you want in your, you know, your team when you're, you know, 2-1 down or anything like that. I mean, that pass for Stokes' goal was brilliant. You know, fair play to him for that, but. I haven't seen that game because I was away at the time, and I've seen the highlights, but you know, I can just imagine the sort of performance he put in.
Yes, it was very poor. So that's a lovely way to end our podcast this week. So thanks very much for coming on, Lee. We'll hopefully get you on in another couple of weeks when some insane things are happening at Park Eder. Next time you're back in the normal place in Norman Aberdeen, we'll get you through for the live podcast.
Oh, sounds good. Well, I'm back in less than a month, so can't wait to get out of here. I mean, I think I'm going to see bloody Aberdeen versus Dumbarton next week, so I'm sure I'll see Bruce Hillboy there celebrating in the away end. As we all know, the big Dumbarton Suns fan he is.
His dream is a Dumbarton Rangers final, of course.
Oh, of course, I know. Celebrating Ian Murray, the, you know, the brother of two clubs.
Ian Murray who won't talk to him. Right. Okay, Lee, thanks very much for coming on, and hail, of course.
Hail, and, you know, just remember there's something inside so strong, and let's see it through to the end of the season.
Indeed. My wife have a wee weep over that.
Very good.
Okay. Cheers, Lee. Well, I hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back in a couple of weeks, or whenever something relatively interesting happens at Park Eder, or not be that long, hopefully. You can follow us on Twitter, @thesnarlingmen. Speak to you soon, and of course, hail.